We welcome Murray Williams now. Good morning, Murray.
Good morning, Catherine.
You have been reading for us Takahe by Alison Balance. This is published by Potten and Burton.
Yes, I have, and it's a deliberately timed book for the 75th anniversary of the Takahe's rediscovery in Fiordland in 1948. Comes up later this year. And Alison's a good one to write about this because she also contributed to the 50th anniversary publication that was produced in 2001. Now, it's the publisher's craft, not Alison's, that you'll first encounter, because you'll end up being attracted by a rather striking cover image. And when you pick up this rather weighty tome, you'll be greeted by pretty classic Potten and Burton design, broad page margins which focus attention on the one or more images at every page opening. They know the rules. You've got to attract and hold the eye, and then there's a good chance that the wallet will follow. Now, I quite like to sample the narrative before I open my wallet, and this is where I got quite a surprise. The first chapter is 24 pages of fiction, a contrived account of Takahe family living in the Murchison Mountains. It's heavily anthropomorphic and is an intended emotion grabber. I didn't quite know what to make of this unusual approach first up. But my advice is don't judge the entire book by this chapter's prose, because the ensuing narrative is much more to the point and is presented in four parts, four time intervals, really. She calls it the discovery phase first up, from 1948 to 1970, recounting the thrill of the discovery and then the subsequent pursuit of the questions, well, how many are there and where are they? Next, she talks about a revelation phase, the 1970s and 80s, dominated by some pretty contentious field research while all around the Takahe population actually crashed, quite alarmingly. Then she says the endeavour phase. Well, that's up to about 2010, when it was a bit of fort-holding, really, moving the birds to offshore islands and manipulating predators in the wild. And finally, the adventure phase, in which she rather calls the future. Each segment has multiple chapters. There's 34 of them in all, which obviously helped the writing, but I tell you what, it's going to really help the reading, because you can't read 276 pages of narrative in one go. Now, in her preface, Alison says that her book is, and I quote, charts the history of the Takahe recovery program, unquote. An ambition that's probably fair to judge the book against. She approaches this quest directly from interviews with her participants from 1960 onwards. Now, it's great that the frontline folk have their stories so prominently told, but there's an obvious consequence to this. This history is a practitioner's history. It leaves completely unmentioned all those who serve behind the front line. We get snippets that actually not was all well behind the front line. For example, there was a page 141 suggests some diversity of opinion around why the population was declining. Well, if ever there's an understatement, that's it. It was raucous. She also says, in a quote on page 156, the Fauna Protection Advisory Committee came within one vote of agreeing to transfer all Takahe out of Fiordland to alternative locations. Really? Now, who was this committee, and how could it possibly contemplate such a monumental decision? We're not told that either, nor about the enormous division within inside the Wildlife Service around 1980 to 84. All of this led directly to the Burwood Bush breeding facility that we get to read about. And there was a frenetic search for islands to move Takahe onto. So I know that there's a hell of a lot more to the Takahe recovery program than is reported here. Now, if history matters, it's because we seek to learn from it, to identify what ought not be repeated. If it is so selectively told, how can we learn? Even an integrative and reflective concluding chapter would have helped here, but that's not there either. So I'm afraid it's a C grade on the history report card for me, with comments like, could do better. But put the history ambition aside. What is a book if it's not to inform and engage? And here the practitioner-centric narrative moves from a history's Achilles heel to being an engagement masterstroke. You can literally feel the tension and the angst as the innumerable dilemmas are confronted by those folk labouring on the Takahe's behalf. There's lots of ups, but boy, there were lots of downs. And if you, as you read this informative narrative, and especially its later chapters, it's hard not to feel satisfaction of a job being well done in our name. The Takahe is heading for a brighter future, apparently. It all feeds into this pervasive belief that we do difficult conservation tasks well in this country. In this sense, the story is, how should I put it, rather well spun. So maybe that first chapter is not so out of step with the rest of the narrative after all. You'll end up being consumed with empathy for this big blue chook, and you'll probably want to seek out one of them at some island or sanctuary site. There you can look at it straight in its big red beak and say, so there you are, eh? Alison's told me an awful lot about you.
Thank you, Murray. Murray Williams has reviewed Takahe by Alison Balance, published by Potten and Burton. It costs $60. And there was an interview with Alison Balance about the book on Saturday morning last weekend. You can find that, of course, just by searching on the RNZ website, just typing in her name.